Boy, it's a privilege. It's a joy to be here at Calvary Baptist Church here in North Wilkesboro. Pastor, I appreciate the invite. I love your man of God, and I tell you what, you got a good church right here, and I appreciate the ministry of this church right here. There's something, I think, that's happened here in the last few minutes. It's been a while, Brother Hall, since this has happened to me, and I thank God for it, and it's to a certain degree. I came armed to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16, but nonetheless, we're just going to have to follow the Lord tonight. And come up on the platform, and I thought, well, Lord, I've studied, I prepared, this is what you wanted, and it's all right here. But there it is. So anyhow, I want you to turn your Bible tonight to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. We're going to visit a passage that I have preached several times. It's been a while since I preached this text. But I just really feel like tonight this is where we need to be. And I can tell you this, I know Brother Simpson was here on Sunday, Brother Pope was here last night, Brother Hayworth will be here tomorrow night. Tonight will be the least of the preachers, I can promise you that. I tell this everywhere I go, this is the first time I preach to you. If you go through life and you don't get to know Brian Poindexter, you ain't lost a thing. But I'll tell you this, you go through life and you don't know Jesus Christ and you've lost it all. You've lost it all. You're here tonight and unprepared for eternity. Hey, tonight is a night of salvation. Mark chapter number 2, and I'm serious. I mean, this is best I know how. I'm just going to follow the Lord tonight and believe Him. This is where I believe. This is where I, man, I was settled last week. I was praying. Sent a message praying for the meeting. God settled me. Whoa, if I preach not the gospel, that's what I was going to preach on. I was going to tell you about Jesus. I was going to tell you about the gospel. And the Lord, for whatever reason, will not let me do that. So I want you to stand if you're able to tonight. You're not standing to reverence me. You're standing to reverence this book. And boy, it's more than just a book. Yes, sir. I thank God for the Word of God. And I thank God for a leather-lung preacher one night that hopped up, preached the Word of God, and I saw myself lost, undone without the Lord. And I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got saved. And boy, tell you what, I still ain't what I need to be, but I ain't what I used to be by the good grace of God. Mark chapter number 2, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. You'll probably notice a familiar passage, probably read through it numerous times. Mark chapter number 2 and verse 1, and again, he, and that personal pronoun he is the Lord Jesus. Amen. He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now notice verse 12. It didn't say 2 hours later. It didn't say after he went through a 7-step program. It didn't say when somebody talked to him long enough. Bible said in verse number 12, immediately. You know how quick that is? Just snap your finger. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, God, as I bow, Lord, your presence, God, again tonight, I thank you, Lord, for the good saying, Lord, we've already heard. And Lord, I confess my insufficiencies, Lord, now and my faults. Lord, I know that I'm a big fat zero. Lord, you're everything. I pray that you'd help this feeble preacher, Lord, to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. God, you know every need that's in this building. God, you know my heart, and I confess it, Lord. You know that I'd prepared another message, but Lord, you've directed our heart here. I'm going to trust you. I pray that you'd do a work, Lord, in this meeting tonight that only you can do. Help Brian to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. We're going to go ahead and thank you, and we're going to praise you for what you do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see you. Amen.
Because it's about the Word of God. Notice he preached the Word unto them. Can I say just a few things about that Word? First of all, that Word was inspired. Oh, you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. He didn't say some of it. He didn't say part of it. He didn't say a little bit of it. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You know what this preacher needs? I need the Word of God. You know what you need? You need the Word of God. You know what them grandbabies need? They need the Word of God preached unto them. Oh, I want to see them saved. And I know you want to get them, see them saved. But it's going to take the preaching of the Word of God. It ought not be blasé. And it ought not be boring. And I ain't talking about style. I'm talking about substance. And where the preaching of the Word is, thank God the Word of God is inspired. Can I say it's infallible? No errors. Well, now Dr. So-and-so told me. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so said. Hey, man. I got two PhDs myself. Hey, man. I ain't kidding. I got two post-hole diggers out in my building. Hey, man. But you know what? God gave me something. He gave me some horse sense to know that the 66 books, 31,102 verses, 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament. I'm telling you, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter number 22, there's not an error one in there. The Bible promised it. The Lord promised it to every generation. Psalm 12 and verse number 6, it said, the word of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, pure Purified seven times. Word set, that number seven is the number of completeness. The Word of God's inspired, it's infallible. Can I say this? That it's also instructional.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You say, preacher, how should I raise my family? The Bible tells you. First of all, how you be saved, the Bible tells you. How should I behave myself? The Bible tells us. It's instructional. You know, the Scripture said in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the word, that lamp, it'll show you where you are right now.
Right.
That light will show you what's in front of you. That's right. So the lamp and the light, the word of God does both of it, and it's instructional.
Right.
You know what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12? For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive.
Right.
It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord.
You see, the word of God knows exactly where we are even before we read it.
Right.
It's like a mirror. Man, you know what? It's instructional. I remember years ago when I was coming up when I was still working up here in Wilkes, working out of the house, and I got on 421. Preacher, I was going up the road, come back up toward Wilkes, and I noticed there's a car up there, and I said, man, they've been on the bottle very early in the morning because that car was swerving back and forth in the lines, and I was afraid to go around it, preacher. Well, got all the way up there to the river, we crossed the river and got that first stoplight right there, and we pulled up, and I thought, well, man, I don't see what in the world is going on, because I'd stayed back. Everybody else was staying back, too, because sweets just swerving all over the road. Well, come to find out, I got up there, and I seen what was taking place. There was a lady that had one of those little compact things in her hand. And she had her mirror down right here. And she was like this, and she must have been driving with her knee, man, going up and down the road. Somebody asked me, you know what Oliver B. Green said? Somebody asked him one time, said, well, Oliver B. Green, what do you think about makeup? He said, well, and now listen, Brian didn't say this, Oliver B. Green did. You can't hold that against you because he's dead now. But you know what he said? He said, well, if I had an old barn, I'd paint it. Somebody asked me, what do you think about makeup? Hey, man, I believe in it. It helps, son. I got a few men that are, hey, there's a few here tonight that's good candidates for that. Hey, man, makeup. You say, what's that got to do with anything? You know what she was doing? She pulled that mirror down and she could see what she was doing. You know what the Word of God does? As we look at it, it shows our defects. It's just like a mirror. You go and you got dirt on your face, you got something going on. You say, well, how in the world do I know how to get it off and how to clean it? Because the Word of God shows you how to do that because it is instructional. And it's indestructible too, by the way. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 18 says, for verily I say unto you, to one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You know what a jot is? That's a dot in the I. You know what a tittle is? That's a cross and a T. He said, ain't none of it going to be destroyed till all be fulfilled. Isaiah 40, verse number 8 said, the grass withered and the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Don't ever, ever, ever. never take for granted a place that'll preach the Word of God to you, gun barrel straight, and not pull out a sugar stick and not water it out. You ought to thank God for a good man of God. That's a church that makes hell tremble, where the people are enthused, where the preaching is exciting. I'm not done. But number three, where the priority is evangelism. Look with me in verse 3. And you say, what's evangelism? That's winning people to Christ. Bible said in verse 3, and they come unto him. Now they is plural. Came unto him is singular. Bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Notice when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now here's four guys. Now keep in mind, we're preaching on this application. What should be in every church? It was a place where the people were enthused. It was noise that he was in the house. Can I get a witness? He preached a word unto, and the preaching was exciting. But the priority was evangelism. And these boys knew that in and of themselves, Brother Hall, they couldn't help this man. But they had heard about a man named Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And they knew that they were limited in what they could do, but they knew that Jesus was not limited in what he could do. Now in this, these fellows had a desire, no doubt. Bible said he was born of four. There's four fellows. We don't know their relationship. It does not say. It could have been a family member, could have been a friend. But I know this. These fellows were investing in the life of this paralytic man that couldn't even help himself. They had a desire. They loved him, no doubt. Seen him in that condition way too long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, preacher, how does that apply to me? Listen, we've got loved ones, we've got friends, we've got family. We've seen them in that condition long enough. I got news for you. I can't save them, you can't save them, your preacher can't save them. But we can tell them how to be saved, and we can lead him to the one or her to the one that can save their soul. But these fellas, the priority was evangelism, bringing others to Jesus. These fellas had a desire, but can I say this? They had a dedication. You say, hey, no. They were born of four. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but my grandma, I remember growing up, how many of you ever slept on a pallet? How many of you know what a pallet is? There's a few of you. Some of you young and you ain't got a clue. I ain't talking about one of these pallets that you get a forklift and slide there. No. A pallet is one of these big old blankets that, and I ain't talking about none of this stuff you buy from Walmart now, this cheap stuff. I'm talking about those old saints of God made those, I refer them to horse blankets, son. I mean, they were heavy. And I remember Grandma would spread out that thing, and it was in a square, and I remember that. And every time I read this passage, I think about it as a little child. My memory goes back, Brother Hall, and I remember her laying that thing. We didn't sleep in the bed. We slept on the floor. And she would lay us out a pallet to sleep on, two or three of those great big old blankets. And then, and listen, son, when it was cold, and Grandma, you know how those older folks were? I mean, they pinched pennies. I mean, the power bill's 20 cents this month. I mean, you just freeze you to death. And it had wood heat. And it had a little bit of oil, but I mean, she tried her best to cut corners. But there where we're sleeping, you better get in a position you wanted to be in when she put them blankets on you. Because I mean, you're sitting there in them blankets all night. I mean, you can't even roll over. You're trapped. You're laying on the pallet. You say, preacher, what's that going to do then? I think about a squire. These fellows had a dedication because there was four of them. Now, let's just use the communion table. It's in most every church. It's got four corners. Think about your cardinal points, north, east, west, and south. Those four directions. You could see those four guys. I mean, it's just common sense. He'd been on a bed, something that was a square. You got one on this side. You with me? Say amen. Got one right here. You got one right here. And you got one right here. Now, these fellows were dedicated to get this man to Jesus. Now this fellow over here didn't say, well, you know what, I think we ought to go this way. That fellow didn't say, well, I believe we ought to go that way.
Good,
this fellow said, well, we need to go this way. Or no, we need to go this way. You know what, God gave you a great eagle to lead this flock and he's sitting right here.
Come on,
hey, man, I ain't talking about something doing something out of the will of God. I'm saying you get behind the man of God. He's following the word of God and don't be pulled every which direction and get out there too wide like they do at Daytona or wherever. But I'm telling you, talking, going in the same direction. These fellas were dedicated for the cause of Christ. They got one mind and they got one accord and they followed them one another and they went to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Reminds me of, how many of you remember Bob Knight? Indiana University. Love college basketball. I'm trying to hurry, preacher. My crowd's going to kill me. Bob Knight coached Indiana basketball. Many of you remember that old red. He, at one time, he was the winningest basketball coach in the nation. And you, in history. And he used to always wear that old red sweater all the time. And he hated the media. And I remember one day he had a fellow by the name of Lawrence Funderburg that transferred out and ended up going to Ohio State and took them to, they ended up going to a Final Four in the early 90s. Well, they were entering, I'm going somewhere, you hang with me right here now, this is an important point. You'll find that Bob Knight was interviewed by the media and he was sitting there with his arms crossed and the guy from ESPN was asking, he said, well, you know, he said, Bob, he said, I want to know. He said, you don't always go after the elite players, the top-notch players. Why don't you do that? He said, you go after these two-stars and three-star players, and you mold them and you develop them, and you've been so successful. And he just sat back with that old smug that he always had. He said, you got to understand this. He said, when you come to Indiana basketball, boy, this will preach right here in the church. Now, listen, I believe he's a wicked man. He needs to get saved. This is what he said. He said, when you come to Indiana basketball, he said, me, myself, and I, is replaced by we, us, and ours. He said this. He said, you'll never win a game with one player. He said, it takes five. And there's no I in team. And you know what? I threatened that at one point, and again, I was just being facetious. But I said, boy, wouldn't that be good if we could put that back at the covenant, at the back of the church, and when you come to Faith Community Baptist Church, or when you come to Calvary Baptist Church, and when you come in those doors, you forget about me, myself, and I, and it's we, us, and ours, and we've got a goal, a priority, to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because if they don't get saved, you can't water it down. You can't pull out a sugar stick, son. You've got to know that they're going to a Christless and a devil's hell if they die in their sin. And that's where you're heading tonight, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But ain't it good to know that these four boys loved that man enough and they couldn't help him, but they got him to the one that could. Not only did they have a desire and a dedication, but they had a determination. Now, I ain't going to preach this real, real long, but they went on top of the roof. Man, these fellas couldn't have been Baptists. Couldn't have been. I can say that and get away with it because I am a Baptist. And say, oh man, that's too difficult. Man, look at this crowd. There ain't no way we're going to get down to the fish house in time. Yeah, man. No way. They didn't stop. You know what they did? They persevered. And they dedicated themselves and went on top of the roof. That's how much love and commitment they had for that man. You say, preacher, how does that apply to us? I'm simply saying they went up and they rolled back. They rolled back those shingles, let that man down into where Jesus was. Now, here it is. The church that makes hell tremble is where people are enthused. Amen. You ought to be enthused. Well, the preaching is exciting. Well, the priority is evangelism. Don't lose sight of missions, local missions, foreign missions in the United States. Man, we ought to win them at any cost. Amen. Jesus called us to do it. But I want to show you something. Now, here's the thing that's in every church. Now, just hang with me, and I'm going to be done in just a minute. But look with me. Sad to say, this is in every church. Look at verse number 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Hallelujah. Now Jesus healed him. But did you get that? Did you find that critical crowd? Hey, man. Did you find that critical crowd? You know what? Sometimes folks ain't real enthused.
Come on, brother.
And sometimes folks ain't real excited. And sometimes folks ain't real excited about going winning people to Christ. But they sure like to criticize. Now, they're everywhere. Now, I know. And again, I didn't come up here to beat you there. I told our crowd the other night, Brother Hall, I said, I feel like I beat you to death every time. I do. All I can do is just give you what God give me. But I'll say this. I wouldn't want to be the one that criticized the work of God.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what? There's a lot of taters in the church.
Come on, brother.
It's taters. Yeah, there's a lot of spectators. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You say, what's a spectator? They'll sit back and they'll watch. They'll tell you how to do it. Just don't ask them to lift a finger. It's got quiet in here. Spectators. Then there's commentators. Again, they'll tell you how to do it. Just don't ask them to lift a finger. And then there's agitators. I've pastored a few of them. I won't say that I'm pastoring any right now, but I have in my past. I've met some agitators along the way. But thank God I've also pastored some facilitators. Because you got to have them. And thank God for the sweet taters. Amen. But this crowd here was critical. Now I'm moving on now. Watch it in a church that makes hell tremble. It ought to be a place. I'm moving fast now. I'm going to preach fast. You listen fast. We're going to the house fast. You'll see that these people were enthused. He's in the house. The preaching is exciting. He's preaching the word of God until the priority is evangelism. But notice a church that makes hell tremble is a place where power is experienced. Look at verse 12. Immediately. Ain't that what we looked at a while ago? Didn't say after you went through a 7-step program. Didn't say when you went to psychologist one and psychologist two. Oh no, son. I tell you the greatest need that America has. Oh, it ain't the economy and it ain't the political nonsense that's going on today. I tell you what the greatest need in America is today. They need to fall down and understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm telling you, there's still power on the change. Can I just tell you, 2 Corinthians 5:17 still says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I still ain't what I need to be. I think I've already told you that, and you've heard me long enough to know that I still ain't what I need to be. But thank God I ain't what I used to be, because I belong to a church that made hell tremble. I heard the preacher where there was enthusiasm. The preacher was excited. The priority was evangelism, and I experienced the power of God on my life. I experienced that touch that little brother was talking about a while ago. Because notice, and immediately he arose, took up the bed. The very thing he couldn't do, he did. He went out a whole lot different than he went in. Yeah, man, he come down and then he went out. And he was carrying, oh, there's a message right there too. But power was experienced. Some of you may have to go back. And you remember that day? You remember that day? You remember that day? When the Lord saved your soul? You know what you experience? You experience power. Thank God for a church like that. It's a church that makes hell tremble. Notice this last thing, and I'm done. Here we go. The church that makes hell tremble. What'll be in it, preacher? Where people are enthused. Where the preaching's exciting. Where the priority is evangelism. And hey, where power's experienced. But watch this. Where praise is exercised. Where praise is exercised. Look with me in verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You know what we'd say? Man, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. That's what we'd say in Wilkes and Yadkin County. Man, I ain't never seen that before. But they had never, but notice they praised God. I'm telling you, you're talking about a place that'll make hell tremble. He don't like the praises of God's people. Hey, what does Solomon say in Psalm 107, verse number 2? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so. We ought to say so. I'm talking about we ought to brag on him. I mean, we ought to lift him up, and we ought to exercise. I'm telling you what, we got so many spiritual wimps, and I include myself in the church, because we don't exercise. You take these old fellas that pump iron, and they take all those nutrients and all that stuff. What they don't realize when they get older, all that's going to turn into flab. But I can tell you this, they're getting bigger, and they're blowing up, and because they're exercising, and they're exercising those muscles. You and I ought to exercise. Praise in the God of heaven. Some of you may have walked in here tonight and you say, I ain't got nothing to praise God about. Are you kidding me? I was in Dobson Hospice House yesterday. I was in Gordon Hospice House this morning in Statesville. One of our dear saints of God just went home. Boy, thank God for 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Some of you have, and you say, well, I've lost such and such. Listen, I don't believe in that. When you lose something, you don't know where it's at. Well, there ain't many ways to go. There's only one way up and there's one way down. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. What makes the difference? The Lord Jesus Christ does. There's not many ways to go. But you know what? You got a saved mama or daddy, you got a saved loved one that's departed from this life, went into glory. Listen, you didn't say goodbye, man. You just said goodnight. Bible talks about in the New Testament to being asleep. Yeah, man. That's what's referred to as dying. Thank God we don't say goodbye. Oh yeah, there's a parting for a while, but I'm glad, thank God, that one of these days there's a reunion on the other side. Hey, can I just tell you, just a minute, you say, preacher, I just tell you, I got nothing to praise God for. Well, if you're saved, that's enough to praise God about. But if you've got some loved ones waiting on the other side, and the older you get, you'll find there's more on the other side than they are down here. But can I just give you a word of encouragement? Oh, listen to what Jesus said, in John 14, in verse number 1, He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house for many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now don't miss that. How do we know heaven's real? If it were not so, He would have told us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm telling you tonight that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You'll not accidentally get there. You'll not stumble in. You'll not get in on the coattails of somebody else. No, you'll go to heaven because you made a conscious decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The next thing on God's calendar, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ, He ain't coming back to earth, but He's coming in the air. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 16, the Bible, and listen, He ain't sending a messenger, He ain't sending an angel, He ain't sending a preacher. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God. I'm sort of like Abraham was. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You think about all the turmoil, and you think about all the problems and all the issues that we face down here in life. Man, I'm telling you, on the other side, we ain't going to have to face some things. Thank God, on the other side, my brother, there ain't going to be no alcoholism over there. There ain't going to be no bitterness over there. No more cancer. No more chemotherapy. No more death. No more envy. No more fussing. No more greed. No more hospitals. No more hospice homes. No more indignation, no more jealousy, no more killing, no more lust, no more misery. The Bible said there'll be no night over there, no oppression, no more pride, no more questions, no retaliation, no suffering, no tailbearing, no unforgiveness, no more violence, no more worries, no more x-rays will be taken. There'll be no more yielding to sin, zero taxes, zero mortgages, zero impeachments, zero heartaches and troubles and all the problems we got. Don't tell me you don't have nothing to praise God about. If you know Jesus, you got something to praise God about. You got something to praise God about. Tonight, while the pianist comes, I'll share this with you and I'm done. Several years ago, this old Baptist preacher up in West Virginia, he's a young man. He loved the Lord. He got saved and God called him into the ministry, preacher. Knew God had called him to the mission field. Raised up his support. Church was behind him 100%. Went overseas. And when he left, every month, preacher, he'd get a correspondence from his home church. They would send the support and they'd send the letter. Like Brother Key and some of them do, some of the missionaries, they send that, you know, the church would correspond with them, vice versa. And he noticed after 4 or 5 years, preacher, that what he used to get every month, it went to bi-monthly. And then it went to semi-annually. And then it just stopped. He tried to call back and he had been gone 10, 12 years. The time had come for him to come back off the furlough, to come back to the States. As he come back and he kept calling and calling, never could get a hold of him. So he got back and he flew in and he got in the cab and the cab was taking him back up. Preacher, he could imagine in his mind the great services that they had and all the things that he had experienced in the church. Man, he just loved that place. It's where his life was changed. He started back up that way and he thought, man, I can't wait to meet the new pastor. Can't wait to see how they've redone things maybe around the church. And as he pulled up and he capped over that hill, that smile turned to a frown. As he got a little bit closer, he pulled into the parking lot there at the church. Got out, Couldn't believe his eyes. The parking lot was growed up. Grass had been coming up through the asphalt. Got a little bit closer to the church and began to look on the outside of the windows. He noticed that the windows were broken. The back door had even been kicked in. He stepped in through one of those windows. Beer cans scattered all inside the church house. Pews had been turned over. Pulpit turned over. Dust, dirt, grime. He couldn't believe. Couldn't believe what had happened in that church. He said, my goodness, what in the world happened? And he happened to look up because he remembered. And you know, a lot of the old churches, and I don't see any right now, but a lot of the old churches, they'd have the wood frame that'd come up and they'd have little plaques that hung down, preacher. And they'd have certain verses. And he remembered that plaque. So he come and he stood right there where the pulpit was. And sure enough, he seen that sign was swinging. And it was Proverbs 29:18. And it said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But as he looked at it, he noticed there was something wrong. The W had fell off. And instead of saying where there's no vision, the people perish, it said here, there is no vision, and the people perish. You say, what happened, preacher? Somebody lost their priority. Now you listen to me, Calvary Baptist Church. You listen to me, Faith Community Baptist Church. They ain't a one of us exempt. The devil would love to shut the door at Calvary Baptist Church. You know why? Because I believe this is a place. This is a church that makes hell tremble because there's a place where people are enthused. Where the preaching is exciting. Where the priority is evangelism. Where power is experienced. And where praise is exercised. But don't ever, ever, ever take that for granted. Keep in mind where there is no vision. People, thank God for the vision you got. And I don't know where you are tonight as you stand to your feet. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I about said all I'm going to say. But I want to say this first of all. Some of you may have some needs tonight. Maybe you came in this building. You got needs that I don't know about and the preacher don't know about, but God knows about it. And boy, if you got a need tonight, you can come. Thank God for an old-fashioned altar where you can do business with God. I said earlier, one of our biggest problems is just getting honest with God. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved and unprepared for eternity, you need to get saved tonight if God deals with your heart. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that question was asked in the Bible. In Acts 16, in verse number 30 and 31, you'll find that Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here tonight unprepared for eternity, listen, hell's going to be your home if you don't get saved. But listen to me, church member. Oh, when's the last time you just thanked God for a place that makes hell tremble? When's the last time you thanked your man of God? Thank you, preacher, for preaching the truth to us. Oh, don't you take that for granted. It can be taken away so easily. Listen, I thank God for Calvary Baptist Church. I hope in the days and in the years to come that you continue to be a church that makes hell tremble. Let's pray. Father, I sure do love you. Now, God, I have done my best, Lord, to deliver the message of the hour. God, you know every need in this building. I thank you, Brother Hall, and thank you, Lord, for his ministry. God, would you continue to bless him, his family, Lord, every member of Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, there's people, Lord, here in Wilkes County that's dependent on this church right here. If they're going to heaven, God, you're dependent on them. Pray, God, that you'd help them, Lord, just to stay the course. God, I plead for these that are on the altar tonight. God, you know every need. Pray for that lost sinner that's unprepared for eternity. I pray that tonight will be the night of salvation. God, have your will and your way during this time, and we're going to praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, you come on.